This is the Happy Station, broadcasting to North and South America on 9,955 kilohertz from 1 to 155 UTC and from 15 to 1555 UTC.
This is station PCJ of Philips Radio, broadcasting on 31 meters, our weekly Friday program, which only lasts for 60 minutes.
Estación de la Alegría, The Happy Station Show. Well, hello everyone, hello everywhere, welcome again to another edition of The Happy Station Show for this October the 8th, 2009, at just after 1500 hours UTC for listeners in North America. Keith Parent here with you all the way in Taipei, Taiwan, and it's going to be nice to have you with me. We have a lot of things to get to today, including the tango. That's right, we're going to be doing the tango later on in the show. I know that sounds strange, but you'll see what I mean. Also, I want to tell you today that to pay attention for the coded message that will appear during the show, and it could appear at any time. And that's to enter the lucky draw that we will have at the end of the year. And also stay tuned for some time changes for North America, which will occur after October 25th, as well as some special programs that we have coming up as well. So stay tuned for that. All right, let's kick off right away with Tony Bennett and They All Laughed here on the International Happy Station.
They all laughed at Christopher Columbus when he said the world was round. They all laughed when Edison recorded sound. They all laughed at Wilbur and his brother when they said that man could fly. They told Marconi wireless was a phony. It's the same old cry. They laughed at me wanting you. Said I was reaching for the moon. But oh, you came through. Now they'll have to change their tune. They all said we never could be happy. They laughed at us and how. But ho, 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 who's got the last laugh now? That Rockefeller Center, now they're fighting to get in. They all laughed at Whitney and his cotton gin. They all laughed at Fulton and his steamboat, Hershey and his chocolate bar. Ford and his Lizzie kept the laughers busy. That's how people are, they laughed at me. Wanting you, said it would be a long goodbye. But oh, you came through. Now they're eating humble pie. They all said we'd never get together. Darling, let's take a bow. Oh, ho, ho, ho. Who's got the last laugh? Oh, ho, ho. Who's got the last laugh? Oh, 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 who's got the last laugh now?
And there was the coded message to enter the lucky draw for the prizes that we will have at the end of the year. You just have to send me an email, pcj.happystation@gmail.com. That's pcj.happystation@gmail.com. And let me know at what time you heard that message and what came before it and what came after it. And the winners for the prizes, which are the first prize, a Sanjin ATS-909. Second prize, a Sanjin ATS-606A. The third prize are the three books from Jerry Berg about international shortwave broadcasting. The fourth prize is a one-year membership to the magazine Communication from the BDXC. That's the British DX Club. And the fifth prize is going out to 10 lucky winners, and it's a copy each of Tom Meyer's CD, Easy Come, Easy Go. And the winners will be announced for our second transmission to North America, which will be 2 hours long on December 31st. Actually, the two programs on December 31st to North and South America will be 2 hours each. You can also send it via snail mail. The address is Happy Station Show, 8th floor, number 47, lane 31, section 1, Sanmin Road, that's S-A-N-M-I-N Road, Banqiao, B-A-N-C-I-A-O, Taipei, Taiwan, ROC 22070. Now, if you didn't have time to write that down, don't worry, because I'll be giving out the postal address later on in the show. So do make note at what time you heard that message. Let's now move to Facebook. I want to say hello to the following people. Patrick Henry, David Constantidis, which I think, sorry, Costas, I think I'm totally mangling your name, which is easy for me to do because I have a mangled brain. David Goran, Mary Hinkson, Mark Black, And they all joined up to the Happy Station Facebook page, which is very easy to do if you're already signed up to Facebook. Just do a search for the Happy Station Show. Click on Join the Group. And also feel free to add me as one of your friends. Just do a search for me. That's Keith Perron, as they say in French, Perron, oui, 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 oui. And my family name is spelled P-E-R-R-O-N. And if you have a problem with Keith, well, I do as well, but that's K-E-I-T-H. If you are Spanish, you can pronounce my name Perron. Yes. And if you are an Anglophile, Perron. Which I really don't like when people announce it that way. That sounds very odd. Hi there, my name is Keith Perron. You know? Very odd. Very strange. Okay. Also, one of the new people that signed up to the Happy Station Facebook page is our good friend Boris Shitov, who listens in Montreal, Canada, and is a longtime shortwave listener. He used to do a lot of listening on his Kenwood radio. Well, actually, it was his father's radio. And if you're wondering how I know that, well, I've known Boris for a million years. So, Boris, we're going to dedicate the next song to you, because I know you are a music fan, and I thought we'll go back a bit to something that you definitely remember. It's Enjoy the Silence, Depeche Mode, here on the International Happy Station. Enjoy the silence, Depeche Mode, here on the International Happy Station, going out to our good friend Boris Shirov, all the way in Montreal, Canada. Well, he actually lives in Roxborough. One question that came to me from a Facebook member, well, actually, not just, it was the same question, but from a few people, was, what is the strangest thing that I've ever presented on radio? Well, there's been a number of strange things, but this has to do with, as I've talked before, about the brilliance of management sometimes, and I mean that in a very sarcastic way. A few years ago, I think it was in 2005 or 2006, I was helping set up a new English language radio station in Beijing, and it was at the time there was an exhibition to Beijing of sketches by the Dutch painter Vincent van Gogh, and the radio station was one of the sponsors to this exhibition, and the manager thought, well, I have a brilliant idea. And I went, oh, okay, I can't wait to hear this. And they said, look, what we'll do, when the paintings arrive here in Beijing, we will bring them right away to the radio station and have you unveil them in the studio. And you can talk about it on air. And I went, and I said in a very sarcastic way, I said, you know, this is radio. She said, yes, I know. That's what makes it interesting. And I went, okay. So we were on the air. I was doing the afternoon drive, and they brought the paintings by. And there was like security around them because these were the original sketches by Vincent van Gogh. They brought them into the studio. They were uncrating it, and I was doing some commentary, which when I listened to it, I mean, it sounded funny to me then. It even sounds funnier now when I listen to it. But that was very, very unusual. Another one was with China Radio International. When we were celebrating the launch of the new website to the music channel that I worked on, they decided to bring in a painter. And he would paint an image of the logo on radio. And it was just as exciting as literally watching paint dry, because it was 10 minutes. And, I mean, there were probably more important things that we could have, you know, used that 10 minutes for. But there he was, painting a picture for 10 minutes as somebody was giving commentary to it. Like, you know, he's lifting the brush. He's putting it in the ink. He's now running it across the canvas. It was very, very strange. Again, that was another brilliant idea for management. But they didn't seem to like the idea that I gave them, which was, how about we just do an interview with the painter instead of wasting 10 times and have him draw it on radio. I don't think radio has come that far yet. Oh, yes, it has. There's something now called television. They didn't get that joke, but anyway. So, yes, very strange. And speaking of strange things, I thought, since we're in the strange mode of managers doing strange things, why don't we dance on the show? That's right, we're going to dance. No, not really. Quite recently here in Taipei, there was a tango festival held. Now, when you think of the tango, Taipei, of course, is not one of the places that you think of right away. You think maybe of, like, Argentina or some other countries in South America. But Brazil is something, Taiwan is something that you really don't think of when you think of the tango. But anyway, they do have a tango festival that happens once a year. And this tango festival has gotten larger and larger and larger. It started with a few people, and now they have people from all around the world that come to take part in it. So I contacted Stacy Joe, who is the organizer of the festival, to talk a little bit about it. So we'll bring you that interview now, as well as a little music of the tango, very romantic, you know. Here's El Abharo on the Happy Station.
Thank you.
Stacey, let me ask you a question, because when people think of the tango,
yes,
first places that come to mind would be like Argentina and other countries in Latin America, but they would never think Taiwan.
Uh-huh.
How did the tango festival all begin here?
Actually, we began the first festival back in 2003. That was because I went for a world trip in 2002 and joined some festivals in Europe and Argentina. And that inspired me to do something similar in Taiwan.
Because you're a dancer yourself. And was this something, after you traveled abroad and you got inspired to do this,
yes,
was it something difficult to do? Because in Asian culture, the tango, I mean, people may have seen it in movies, they may have seen it on television, but to actually dance it, I mean, I've tried dancing the tango before, and I have 2 feet, and they both go in the same direction. So, I mean, how do you teach people that are in a culture that of this very, you know, romantic Latin dance?
Yeah, it is very different. The people here in Taiwan and those in Latin countries. But I think there is something very special about people in Taiwan or Asia, that they are shy, but they have a lot of passions in their heart that they don't show easily to people. But they do have a lot of feelings inside. And this is, I think, why tango is very suitable for Asian people, mm-hmm, because they don't easily express themselves, but through the dance they can. They don't have to speak, they don't have to talk, but they can express their feelings by through their mm-hmm body, through the dance. And that's a very way of express.
So for the festival then, you also teach people to do the tango, correct?
We invite several couples of tango masters to come to teach the students to dance. And the classes include from level beginners to advanced people.
What has been the reaction then from... I mean, you must get calls from people saying, you know, I find the tango very interesting, and they take a course. What would you tell them? You know, do they tell them, like, okay, you have to relax and just let your body move with the music? Or how do you do it, especially since, you know, in Asian music in particular, especially from, say, China, Taiwan, Korea, South Korea, Japan, is very different in rhythm from, let's say, Latin American music that has a lot of rhythm, a lot of drums, a very strong beat. Is that something that you have to teach as well?
Yes. Actually, tango dance is improvised. So what we do in the class is to tell them how to improvise the dance, including every step is improvised by the men and the women. So they don't have to really memorize a sequence of dance, but they can learn by elements, and then they organize their own dance. And the beat is something that they have to work on, because it's, as you said, it's different. But by listening to music more, they will then get used to the rhythm. That's what we tell them, to listen more to the music.
What are some of the big changes that have taken place since the first one in 2003 to this one in 2009?
Wow, a lot of changes. The scale first. Back then, we had, for the first time, maybe 40 or 50 people coming from abroad. And until this year, we have 180 coming from foreign countries. And this year, we have four couples of masters. Compared to last year, it was three couples. And so this year, we have really a bigger scale and more participants, more masters, and yeah, more people, yes.
Have you seen a big interest here in Taiwan around, say, dances that are very predominant in the West, like the tango or the cha-cha or the rumba? I mean, for example, recently I was in Japan, and the Japanese love to salsa. And salsa has become extremely popular in Japan. Here in Taiwan, is it the same with a lot of Western-style dances that are gaining more and more popularity here?
Yes, actually, it's been more popular for the past few years, starting from, like, flamenco. Many people started to dance since 2000 or 2001, and also the salsa dance. And like we started to have tango community since 2000, so it's getting more popular these years. Yes.
Right now, at the time that we're recording this interview, we're coming to the end of the festival. It's not the actual final night. But if somebody, let's say, was here in Taipei right now, and they were to come to the Red House Theater, which is located, for those who may not know, it's almost in the center of Taipei, what would they, or what could they expect?
They will see a very special tango night in a very special building, Red House, which is an antique building here in Taipei. And a lot of people, like more than 200 people of tango aficionados dancing here. And some of them are from foreign countries like Hong Kong, Japan, Singapore, Korean, and many of them are from Taiwan. And also featuring four very experienced, professional couples of tango masters dancing here.
Is this kind of festival for something like the tango, where does the funding come from? Obviously you don't just pay out of your own pocket, you have advertisers and sponsors. Is it something that's difficult to do, especially now in the current economic climate? Like if you compare it, let's say, to past years?
For us, it's usually it's not easy to have sponsor for tango. And so usually it's the participants who share the cost, who pay the cost. So and the economics, yes, it does affect, but such big events, people still want to come because it's only once a year. So people who love tango, they still come and they still do a lot of classes and join every tango night. And so it's not that affected.
You know, one of the things that I found extremely nice about this festival, reading about it through your website, which I'll give out later on, is it's almost like the tango itself. It's a very intimate festival. I mean, if I look at the seating arrangements right now, the Red House does have a stage, but the performance is taking in the center of the floor, and you have the tables all around it, and it's pretty much like the participants, the people, the dancers themselves, and the people watching. There's that closeness there that you don't have in a lot of other festivals, where you have the stage and then you have the audience way at the other side.
That is what's so special about tango, because usually in our parties we have performance of improvisation. Tonight the masters will improvise. This is what you might not be able to see in other dance, because tango is a social dance. So the masters will perform by improvisation, dancing to the music. And the audience, the participants, they can watch really closely to the dancing floor, to the performance. And other than the performance, the participants can dance all the night. So that's very unique.
You know, the way you described it, it's almost as if you described jazz music, because jazz, a lot of the important part of it is improvisation, and a lot of jazz festivals around the world, during the festival, the musicians will gather in small cafes and small restaurants and underground cellars and everything, and they'll play, and the audience is, like, literally sitting with the musicians. That's almost the same way as you described it.
Yeah, it is. I think there is something in common between jazz and tango, and I think it's very nice that people can come and dance and get to know many people, many other tango friends, and also see the performance. Yes.
How much planning goes into this festival? Is this something that you're planning all year long, or do you start planning a few months before the festival itself?
We started to plan like half a year before, because it is in Taipei, it is not easy to reserve a venue. For example, if you want to reserve a hotel, you have to reserve like 1 year before. Otherwise, it might be booked by other people. So we have to prepare like many months ago, and also to book with the masters their schedule. And in the past 3 or 4 months is our busiest time.
You know, you just said something which is quite interesting that I think a lot of our overseas listeners would probably not realize, but Taipei is extremely busy with festivals. There's so many different festivals happening in many other parts of the city. But it's very different from other cities, because the festivals here tend to be a lot smaller than, let's say, in big cities like New York or London or even in Amsterdam. But there's so many of them happening. And like you just said, with the venues, you know, there's a limited amount of venues for all these different festivals that take place. So it's almost like you're fighting with other festivals to get the best venue.
Yes, and it is for tango especially difficult, because usually a tango night, which is called a milonga, starts late in, for example, in Europe or in Buenos Aires, Argentina. Usually they start like 10 or 11 and goes on until like 3 or 4 in the morning. So in Taipei, we cannot do this because the venues just don't allow. So we start like 8:30, which is already later than other kinds of events in Taipei. And then we have to stay on. We can only stay until like 1:30 in the midnight. And actually, we want to stay longer, but the venues cannot do it. And that's what is a little difficult for us, because it is not easy to rent a place that can let us use until late night. Yeah.
Now, earlier on, you said that you did you danced overseas as well. Did you happen to even dance the tango in Argentina itself? Were you able to do that?
You mean perform?
Perform.
Okay. No, I haven't performed there, but I just enjoy the dancing there, the social dance there. I went there 4 times and taking classes and sightseeing and living alive there 4 times, yes.
Stacey, thank you very much for joining us on the program.
Thank you, Keith.
Sin rumbo. Al universo, sin un rumbo en mis zapatos, sin un rumbo aquí en mi verso, camino hacia el sin rumbo. Sin rumbo, desesperado.
And if you want to find out more about the Tango Festival that's held every year here in Taipei, you can check out their website, which is www.tangotaiwan, that's all one word, .com. So that's www.tangotaiwan.com. Tango. Taiwan.com. Okay, let's now take a moment to tell you about some upcoming special programs that we have coming up. First, the thing that I want to notify you about is the time change, which is occurring in North America on October the 25th. So the transmission at 100 UTC will be 200 UTC, starting October the 29th. So after the 25th, we move ahead 1 hour. So October the 29th, starting from that date, the program at 100 will be 200 UTC. And our second transmission to North America at 1500 will be 1600 UTC. So that's the time change coming up. Next one, actually, I want to tell you about some upcoming special programs. Next week on the show is going to be another one in our series, Happy Station's Tribute to DXers, and that will air to all regions on October the 15th, and my special guest on that show will be Bob Zanotti. We're going to talk about a whole wide array of things, and as you may know, Bob Zanotti was the host of the Swiss Shortwave Merry-Go-Round on Swiss Radio International for about 24 years. And it was a very insightful conversation because Bob talked about things that he had never talked about publicly before. So tune into that to find out what that is going to be. And then on October the 29th, we're going to have another special show. This one is going to be a lot of fun. And I wonder out there, how many of you remember the name Vasily Strelnikov? Well, in the 1980s and early 1990s, Vasily hosted Vasily's Weekend, which used to air on Radio Moscow, and then in the early 1990s on The Voice of Russia. So on October 29th, my special guest will be Vasily Strelnikov, formerly of Radio Moscow, Voice of Russia, and now he's doing some television and some podcasts and stuff like that, so he's going to join me on the show. It's going to be a lot of fun, and it's going to make you giggle. It's going to make you giggle as well. So that program as well, the one with Vasily, will also be airing to all regions of the Happy Station show goes to. Okay, now let's dip into this week's mailbag. Well, actually, we've had a number of people that have been writing in to enter the draw that we will have at the end of the year. I want to say first hello to, here we go, Thomas J. Passenger Jr., who lives in Vernon, New Jersey, and he sent in two reception reports for our broadcast on September the 17th at both 1500 and 100 UTC, mentioning the time when he heard the, the coded message. Another one here, actually, which is quite interesting, and I remember we got a letter from him before, is Peter Bentley in East Aurora, New York, and he wants to be put in the Happy Station birthday book. And his birthday, by the way, is just one day before Tom's birthday. Tom's birthday, by the way, is November the 16th, and Peter's birthday is November the 15th, and he listens to us, the show, recently, because he was living in an apartment, a basement apartment that had apparently appalling shortwave conditions, but he's moved to a much better location. Hopefully you didn't move for shortwave, then I think you were like, wee, 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 woohoo, you know. But no, he moved to another place, and he says it's, of course, a lot better. So both of you will be entered into the lucky draw, as well as the following people. Cristina de Sousa in northern Brazil, Juliana Cesa, also in South America, Peter Armstrong, and Richard Knight. So we've sent you a card to say that you've been entered into the lucky draw for the end of the year, which will be on the second two-hour transmission on December 31st at 16 hours UTC. So on December 31st to North America and the Caribbean, we'll be on the air from 16 to 18 hours UTC. And then at 200 UTC to South America, we will also be on the air for 2 hours. And the prizes, which I've mentioned before, I won't mention it again, but you can find it all on the Happy Station Facebook page. And if you want to send in your reception report via snail mail, you can send it to Happy Station Show, 8th Floor, Lane, L-A-N-E, 31, Lane 31, Section 1, Sanmin, and I'll spell that for you. That's S-A-N like Norman, M like Mother, I like Ivan, N like Norman Road. That's Sanmin Road. Banqiao, B-A-N-C-I-A-O, Taipei, Taiwan, R-O-C 22070. And if you didn't have time to write that down, don't worry. You can send me an email, and I can forward that to you. All right. Let's now have a little bit more music, this time in a Latin vein. We'll take a listen to the Cuban All-Stars with a recording for Radio Netherlands from a few years ago with Santos here on the International Happy Station.
Domine Deus, Sabbath.
Santos by the Cuban All-Stars, our last piece of music on this edition of the Happy Station Show for listeners in North America and the Caribbean on 9955 kilohertz in the 31 meter band. And you can also listen to the show's live stream at the times that we are on the air via the website of WRMI at 100 and 1500 UTC. But after October the 25th, that will be 200 and 1600 UTC. The website for WRMI is www.wrmi.net. That's www.wrmi.net. And I also want to take a moment to tell you about a special show coming up, actually, which is not Happy Station, but it's produced by PCJ Media. It is going to be on October 23rd and 24th at 100 and 1300 UTC. We're producing a special show about Faith the Dog. That's right, Faith the Dog, a special show coming up on the airwaves to North America and South America at 100 and 1300 UTC. That's Universal Time Coordinate. One more thing next week. I just want to remind you again that we're doing Happy Station's tribute to DXers. And my guest is going to be Bob Zanotti. And that program, by the way, will be airing to all regions. And as I said before, the only time that we air the same show to all the regions where Happy Station is going to at the moment is when we do special programs. Other than that, it's a different show for every area. All right. So, on behalf of my technician Kevin and our production assistant Johan Backer, this is Keith Perron all the way in Taipei, Taiwan, wishing you well and hope that we'll see you all again very, very soon. So until next time, friends, so long, au revoir, auf Wiedersehen, adios amigos, and sayonara.
This is the Happy Station.
That's what happiness is. Happiness is, happiness is, happiness is, happiness is, happiness is, happiness is. Different things to different people. That's what happiness is.
Happiness is the Happy Station, bringing you some weekly peace, cheer, and joy. Remember that? Hello, I'm Keith Perron, and I hope that you will join me Thursdays at 1 and 15 hours UTC for the Happy Station and La Estación de la Alegría, right here via Radio Miami International.